How cool is that? Thank you, Lord. Who enjoys it when the Lord speaks? You should have seen him, Jan's face when his wife shared the word. He was just booming. I had the same moment. Edna's the most beautiful she can ever be in my heart when she's in the presence of the Lord and worshiping. It's just amazing. And obviously it's my wife, but it is so, I believe, for all of us. In his presence, when he reflects upon us, our true reflects back. And I can just see that with my own wife. Don't worry, I don't look at all of you like that when you worship. There's a grace here and there's covenant. Please hear my heart. But it's just so beautiful that in him, the true you, the true perfect beautiful you, by his grace, is reflected, is shared, is bred to other people. We can actually go home. I think we've had a lot already this morning. I'm thankful. Thank you for coming out in the cold. I've just learned how when the enemy tries to push back, especially in winter, and if you just take that step with the Lord, and it's not about attending church, it's not about doing stuff, but it's just in seeking him. Whatever the case may be, it's just, he comes and he feeds lavishly. And as Tish shared on Tuesday, in fact, that cup just overflows. And in this moment, I can just say, truly, my cup is overflowing. We've been hammering the anchoring this year. But slowly but surely, I can see you a people that is anchored to Christ. And hopefully not to first and foremostly to formulas and structure. Structure is good as soon as we make sure it's got God breathed life in it. Make no mistake. But I can see a people, and I see moments where people are truly anchored to Christ and connected to him, hearing from him and seeking his presence, his voice, in his word, in spirit. And that just makes me happy and blesses my heart. So you'll remember correctly, Petri taught last week on suffering and the gospel. That was a brilliant word. As soon as we've loaded it onto the website, and you haven't heard it, please go and listen to it. It's really well balanced. It was a brilliant word, and it's also sometimes a good thing to reflect upon in this culture that constantly wants to steer away from anything that remotely is something like suffering or inconvenient. The gospel will, in laying down your life, be a bit of an inconvenience now and again to your flesh, but it will reap a deep, deep contentment and harvest like we cannot imagine it. And most of us, if not all of us, have tasted that. The previous time I chatted, and I had him, Johan and Edna here on the stage, mini stage, just joining me in my quiet time in my inner room on the chair where I spend times with God, and we just got a bit practical about intimacy. What does intimacy early in the morning look like? What do we do to connect with him? Do you have your chair? Guys, do you have your chair? A place where you connect with God daily. Edna says her bed. Yes. Ek maak net seker sy sit reg op. I just make sure that she sits upright and has enough coffee. But I just want to stir hearts again, and I want to make sure, do you have that place? Because it's amazing getting corporately together and experiencing the Lord like he comes this morning and just touch our hearts and how he leads us in worship. But it cannot merely be this moment or a Wednesday at Barnard's new place. It can't only be that. There's a place where he calls us into a place of intimacy daily. Now, what is intimacy? You can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. We just quickly said to one another, we need to be anchored. We're anchored in intimacy with the Lord, because from that, the city will be blessed. From that, your church community will be blessed. From that, your mother, child, brother, and even your dog will be blessed when you walk in the will of the Lord. And so, we've got this hope to be safe and secure in life, but it's only found in the Lord, to have a close friendship with the Lord, which is biblical, and then a constant connection, just to be connected to him. Not to do everything, not do a tick box exercise, even though good discipline is not frowned upon. I think good discipline is needed in Christian walk. It's not just, what do I feel like? I'm floating around. There's a fair bit of discipline involved, but it's not to put the cart before the horses. It's just to have it in right perspective. And then you read there what intimacy is, a close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another. And I think in context of God, do I have that with my Father? The quality of being comfortable, warm, and familiar. Close relationship as part of God's will for us. And so you know what intimacy is. And we're going to stay on that page today. We've asked each other, do I have a chair? Do I start my day with the fundamentals of Christianity? Do I plug in? Because sometimes I saw a friend of ours recently, they were on fire, missionaries up in Africa, and I saw the guy and he didn't look well. I love him. I love him to bits, and I've said this to him. We spent good time together when they visited us, but I just realized things were not what they used to be. And I asked, how are you doing? And he just, out of his own, just mentioned, I've probably not had a quiet time with the Lord in as long as I can remember. And he says, I should probably not tell that to a pastor, but we don't have that relationship. We have a deep friendship. And so we prayed for them and prophesied, and other friends prayed on them and prophesied. They're back home now in the States, and they're actually busy looking for opportunities in ministry at the moment again. But it's just that flame to be kindled again. But I could easily just see in his life, and it's not a matter of condemnation. It's just a matter of relationship. I could see, and he then said, I haven't. Time is just not there. But we said to each other, you can go to the last slide maybe. I had it up there. Well, not the last slide, the next one. Too busy is a myth. People make time for the things that are really important to them. We ended off there 2 weeks ago. Too busy is a myth. People make time for the things that are really important to them. And it's that word importance. And the word value that we're going to hover around. In the context of intimacy, we're going to hover around. Let's pray quickly. Lord, thank you for your message this morning. Thank you for your timing this morning. Thank you for your seeds this morning. Thank you for your arrows that will pierce darkness in Jesus' name. Your arrows will pierce darkness in our lives today. Even if somebody listens to this message, I believe, your arrows of truth and love and conviction will pierce darkness in Jesus' name. God, open our eyes. Lord, we need revelation, and we want to live in that. We don't want a acute moment of, oh, wow, yes, and then go on. Please change. Please bring revelation to change in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for open eyes, open hearts, open ears in Jesus' name. For one Spirit and one Spirit only, that is the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And so you'll see there on the next slide, please, I had on there, the V of V and intimacy. So it's a bit of a quiz. You'll see now what it's all about. The V of V and intimacy. So we're staying on the page of intimacy. What do you associate with intimacy with the Lord? What do you associate? Any words? What comes to mind? When I say the intimacy with the Lord, what comes to mind? Emotions? Okay. Love? Hearing His voice? Yes, remember that. Time? Fathering, yes. One-on-one, I like that. Heart connection, what we've said before. Who said something here? Peace. Yeah. Well done. Well done, guys. Anything else? What comes to mind? Close proximity. What can we call that? What else can we call that? I am now in your space. Presence, yes. That's the second word I want you to remember. So there's lots of elements of intimacy, and we have a good understanding of what intimacy with the Lord looks like. We know that only Christ could give that to us. And we know to be a friend with God, to have an intimate relationship with Him, or be it a son or a friend of God, is both biblical. We've looked at that. So it's not just this cute, fuzzy idea, this holy, consuming fire God, and I want to say I'm pals with Him. No, it's actually biblical within the right concept in the fear of the Lord. Now, who's got a 50 cent for me? Three people with a 50 cent or 1 rand? I don't take credit cards. A 50 cent or 1 rand? Thanks, Edna. That was a bit of a setup, so I've got one at least. That was too quick. You have to make it terug, so make it crap in your sock here. Thank you. I didn't brief you on that. Sorry. I just, don't worry, the next one is, what is that? Okay, a 1 rand. That's enough. Oh, thanks, guys. Just see how it floods in. It's amazing. I should actually do the offering next week. It might just take a while. Okay, cool. So I've got three 50 cents and two 1 rands. Nobody actually went above the mark as requested, but anyway. Okay, cool. Can I have 3 wedding rings, please? If you can get it off. Thanks. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Oh, this is a nice one. That's a keeper. Ned Leon, here comes the... Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Anyway, enjoy your week. God bless. Have some coffee. Somebody once told me about the prosperity gospel. Didn't understand a word they said. Anyway. Okay, cool. So now the 50 cents. I was quite surprised. This is an amazing church community. How quickly the wedding rings actually came from. I couldn't have Edna's because it can't get off. But so I couldn't set that up. But I am actually surprised. Now, I've got two hands. Yeah, I've got amazing stories, monetary value, great affection, commitment. I've got a lot of life, not really, but some symbolic life in here. And here I've got a couple of 50 cents and 2 1-rands. Now, I know they're busy in kids' church and they need some props. They need stuff to play with and explain the kids' godly biblical values. And so my challenge is the 50 cent people and the 1 rand guys, can I put it in this box and take it to kids' church for them to play with for an hour or so, and then maybe you can get it back? Everybody that gave a 50 cent, is that fine? Can I? Okay, cool. That's fine with you guys. Now, the wedding ring guys, I've got an option here. And in fact, I don't have an option. I'm enjoying this. They need the different circle, but I care net om illustrasies te gee. But they need something to play with in kids' church. Can I please take these rings and quickly go and drop them off at kids' church? Please give an honest answer. What? Don't fear man. Give an honest answer. No. What would you say? Okay, well, then it's a no. What do you say? What do you say? You might say yes, eh, or not. No, it is a nice one. And so the question is very merely, if all of us can give something that is as valuable, would I like to put it in the safe for the duration of the morning and then have it back? Or am I willing to send it to kids' church? And vice versa, if I give a 50 cent or 1 rand, something of lesser, not such a great value, do I need to put it in the safe, or can I just send it to kids' church? So it's a very simple picture. Please remember it. You can pick first. There you go. Thank you, guys. She almost took the other one. Well, Johan had a moment there. That would have been an interesting drive home. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to take it either. Don't worry. This is the Lord's house. But please come and take back your 50 cent and 1 rand afterwards. I think you guys get the picture. If it's valuable, I would much rather keep it on my finger, or I'd say, yes, Retief, maybe put it in the safe for the sake of the message. But I would not like to put my wedding band, my wedding ring of a couple of 1,000 rand and of great, great value to my heart and to my marriage in that little box and send it off to kids' church. And so it's a matter of what? Of value. It's got great value to us. Now, going back to my question earlier, what do you connect? What do you think about if we speak about intimacy? 2 things stood out, and those are the only 2 things I quickly want to share about this morning. One was the voice of the Lord, and the other one was the presence. Intimacy with God is the voice of the Lord amongst others, and His presence. Now, He's here at the moment, obviously. But those that you really click in, those that you really hear His voice. And so my question is very simple, as simple as this practical exercise. Do we value the presence of God? Do we value the voice of the most living God? Because we all have this jewelry that He gives us. And within the context of life and Western life and lifestyle, and the lifestyle we have, which is it? Which is it? Is it the 50 cent or the 1 rand that you say, ah, come up here, rondle, the kids can play with it, I might get it back, I might not? Is that prophetic word that you've been standing on, that thing that you've been holding on? Is it something that you put away in the safe, that you keep close, that you keep safe? Or is it like the 50 cent, we are a charismatic bunch, we prophesy a lot, we hear a lot of the Lord, there's a lot of words floating around, and it's like 50 cents in our pocket. I'm not being harsh, my heart is not to be harsh, but I do believe there's a place where we need to trust the Lord just to awaken our hearts. Let's go to a bit of scripture, valuing God's presence and voice, and that's the only thing. I can't tell you, value God's words and prophetic words to you. Value His presence. No, I can't do that. But I believe a revelation can be brought to our hearts and spirit where God truly opens our eyes to know how privileged we really are. Elkin Fanilla can actually feel yourself creep. You can pinch yourself now. Because I truly believe we don't realize in the fortunate age and period of time that we're actually living in. You might think, oh, it's goat. Oh, Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. Oh, yeah, the Here is the presence with us. Yeah, the Here had gebracht. But I don't really think we fathom what we have. Who's got kids? They will play with rings and they will play with 50 cents like it's almost the same thing. Our kids don't always realize how privileged they are. Or mine at least, and that's obviously why we teach in discipline. But aren't we sometimes, as Christians, maybe a bit like that? Anyway, let's go to scripture. You can move on. I think I've lapped you. Next one. And the next one. Until you get scripture. Long pieces of scripture. There you go. Previous one. Thank you so much. I value you for helping me out. Thanks, man. Valuing God's presence and voice. Let's go to Matthew 13 context quickly. Jesus here speaking to the crowds, teaching them about the parable of the sower. Very interesting. We're not going to dig too deep into that, but you all know the story. But then he turns around after telling that parable and he speaks to his disciples. What are you guys? Crowd or disciple? How do you value the presence and the voice of God? Let's have a look. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. Remember value. Perceiving the true value of something. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, and I want to speak over you guys, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets, remember this, for many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do we realize there was a couple of thousand years that what we experienced this morning, what we're experiencing at this moment, people did not experience, they did not taste, they did not see. Even though they longed for it, even though they yearned and hungered for it, they could not have what we have this morning. Do you know that many great people of God didn't have a chair the way that you can have a chair? They didn't have the privilege to just step into places spiritually where you can just step into. They couldn't heed the ears of their hearts and their spirit so easily to hear the voice of the Lord like you do and I do. Do we realize that? For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Two elements of God's intimacy with us as his people. Firstly is his presence. Who's experienced God's presence? All of us. By hand? Yes. Amen. Biblical context to this current dispensation. The dispensation obviously we're in is after Christ. One where the veil was torn, we'll see that just now. And where we can freely have relationship with the Lord. We ask for forgiveness of sins. Our hands, our hearts are clean. And we can speak to the Lord and he can speak back to us. We can have communion with him. We were brought up. If you're born again, you've been brought up like that. It's part and partial part of Christianity. Yet it's not been forever that this has been the case. And not everybody has been that privileged or as privileged as we have been. You can go to the next slide, please. In the Old Testament, who's heard about the Holy of Holies? Okay, cool. If you were a Levite or a priest, priest in that time, who would you have wanted to be? Someone in a priest? Any of them? Or would you have liked to be the high priest? Johan would have liked to be the high priest. Johan, why would you have liked to be the high priest? Amen. Yes. Amen. And that's it. Johan would have been the high priest, and he would have liked to be the high priest. Yes, correct. And the reason for that, as he just stated, is that only the high priest was in those days be able to go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, as he rightly said. And how many times a year? Once a year. So it's the high priest that can go into the presence of God. And by the way, they weren't chatting. There weren't too much chatter. It wasn't just, oh Lord, should I not? This and that, and then a bit of Facebook. No. Quickly Google this. Leafy, flat white, chilling it out in the presence in the Holy of Holies. No, it was nothing like that. He went in there after he washed himself, after he went through everything, obviously asked of him from according to the law, once a year went in there, very small dark room, with the presence of the Almighty God. And then he sprinkled that. Firstly for himself, and secondly for Israel. He had a redemptive purpose. He had a purpose in there. It wasn't chilling out. It wasn't hearing voice. And, oh Lord, I like that vision. Or maybe not there. No, nothing of the sort. But yet, he was the only one, and it was only once a year. So God would appear in the Holy of Holies, as we see it in Leviticus. So there existed this barrier that we all know about between man and God. And so, if you look at just the definition of, or if you look at it biblically, most scholars would say earth, young earth is 6,000 years. We should use that as an example. So we're looking at 4,000 years, because remember we're 2,000 and a bit after Christ now, 4,000 years where they didn't have exactly what we have today. That's a long time. Keep that in mind. And so let's look at that scripture. When Jesus had cried out, we're now back in the New Testament, out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the veil torn in half. Now, we need to really think hard or try hard just to get ourselves in that context, because remember, we've grown up in this context. But here, these guys are out in the desert. One guy goes into the presence of the Most High God. He's got a definite job, and he's lucky if he can get out of there. Here we are. Yes, Lord. I don't want to mock it, but pretty blasé sometimes about something that was really profound for a couple of thousand and odd years. We have confidence to enter the Most Holy place now by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And so you know this symbolic curtain, or the real curtain, but which was symbolically torn from top to bottom, the veil, so that we can now freely enter, that we can have his presence. And so a real price was paid for that. The second one is his voice. Who of you has heard his voice? Everybody here has heard the voice of the Lord. Now again, looking at context, And by the way, just on presence quickly before we look at his voice, we've briefly just referred to the Old Testament. But even in this day and age, for the last 2,000 and a bit years, there are millions, if not billions, of people that does not experience or ever experience the presence of the Most High God through Jesus Christ in their life. It's as if, Lord, you shake our hearts just to realize there's people that I saw yesterday at a social gathering that have never, ever, or at least know that they've ever encountered the presence of the Most High God. And they're twice my age. And unfortunately, and I pray they don't, but unfortunately some people might die, be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, and never experience the presence of God. Remember, we're talking about value. We're just checking, just looking at the scale of balances and just looking through our life and just saying, what do I value around intimacy and how do I value it? Back to his voice. Old Testament, there you go. In Hebrews, it refers to, obviously, New Testament, referring to the Old Testament, or that dispensation, that period. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so in the Old Testament, in that dispensation, for a couple of thousand years, God spoke now and again individually. We'll look at it now, but mainly, I can't say 90%, but mainly through the prophets. Didn't have a moment where Demi this morning brought a very accurate prophetic word just before we go into worship. Something that unlocks the heart, something that is from the Spirit of the Lord. They did not have that. Guys, do you realize in what times we are truly living in as Christians? Or is it just news to me? And so he spoke to the prophets for a couple of thousand years until Christ came. He spoke to Noah about five times. Just think, in a lifetime of 950 years. I'm not sure how they calculated those years, but it's still a lot. I'm not going to go into the semantics of that. Five times. God has probably spoken to some of you five times today in your spirit. Do we realize in what time we are living? Do we realize how fortunate we are? All of a sudden, lying in bed now and sitting in church now seems a bit different. All of a sudden, not listening to the voice of the enemy in stealing the food of the Lord for you today seems a bit more valuable. And so to Noah about five times in his lifetime, to Abram about eight times, that's accounted for in 175 years, Isaac two times, and one time to Rebekah in over 180 years, Jacob seven times, and one time to Laban in Jacob's lifetime. This is just a couple of examples. You can count it on one or maybe two hands in a lifetime that God spoke to them. Yes, it was profound. It was pretty cool. But many times it was about where they were going, a redemptive purpose. It was all heading to Christ. It was all heading to a new covenant. It was all heading to a new period. It was all heading to a new dispensation. It was all heading to a place where you and I are sitting now. Millions of people not having, not seeing, not experiencing what you do. How can we not go out into the city and shine the light? How can we not want other people to have these, at least these two things? God's presence that changes you. His voice that makes life eternal to us. And then obviously in the Old Testament, you'll always also find between the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you go read in Malachi, there was a time where God was quiet. How many years? 400 years. Do it still. Just imagine that. God tell me, Ruthie, if there's going to come a season, you still need to pastor the church, but there's going to come a 400-year period where I'm not going to say anything. You might as well just close shop. Tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but 400 years, not even speaking to the fathers or the prophets. Not even speaking to the chosen few. Let alone the other people like us. 400 years of quiet. Not speaking. No rhema word, nothing, not speaking to them. But where are we today concerning these things? And how do we value what we have? Is His presence and His voice, those amazing prophecies that He's given you, those moments where in small group He speaks into your life, or Men's Monday, or at church, those moments He floors you, those moments in your chair at home where He just speaks and He cracks open the Word to you, is it like small change? Or do we value it? Much more than rings, obviously, but do we value it? Today, just shortly before we end off, we are in the following position. Us, we're in this position. Not like the fathers, not like the prophets, not like all of old, and not like the world, suffering, not seeing the kingdom, not being born again, not having the Spirit. We're in this situation. John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You have the indwelling Spirit. You have the indwelling presence. You have the Holy of Holies, the potential of the Holy of Holies living inside of you. Om Yohan, you are the High Priest. You can have it daily. Because of the High Priest in Christ, He can have the favor, the pleasure, not the rituals or the responsibilities of the High Priest, but He can have the presence and the voice of God daily. I say this humbly, but on tap. How valuable is that to us? John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice, Christ at word, and I know them, and they follow me. It's not a prophet running off, coming back 3 years later with the word of the Lord. And I respect, by the way, I don't knock any of those. There was a perfect way in which God perfectly dealt with that season. But I'm thankful it's not the same. Where we need to fly across the world to go hear from this such and such prophet. Sometimes God does lead you to listen to other people, prophetic people, but we don't all have to gather somewhere in America to hear from the Lord. You can actually do it alone. You can do it in a Burger King like we heard 2 weeks ago, or a Starbucks, or a McDonald's, or a Wimpy. You can actually hear from the Lord. Probably even in a spur. That's a joke. Just to see if you're awake. Especially in the spirit. Anyway. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling Spirit. And then His voice. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send Him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. So we live in a dispensation, we live in an age, and then we live amongst people. But we have this great value in our midst. We have the indwelling Spirit, the indwelling presence of the living God, as in the Holy of Holies. And then we have the voice of the King, as only He spoke to the prophets or the fathers or a couple of individuals in times of old. He does not flaunt Himself. He does not speak to everybody. He doesn't send out voice notes to everybody. He doesn't make selfie clips in His car and send out. But He hides Himself to the hungry. He places that which is valuable in a safe space for those that want to seek it, but also know its value. Because its value is potent, and its value changes everything. It is like fire, it changes everything. And only that which is pure, and only that which is Him, can stand. How much do we value His presence and His voice? And are we like the crowd, or are we sometimes like the disciples? Whereas God has called us to see, but yet we don't see, and our hearts get a bit dull. This morning, we can't undull our hearts. We can't open our own eyes. We can just say, we acknowledge, Lord, that maybe we don't see the full, true value of what we actually have. Because, you know, the world just creeps in. Stephen saw this vision once again this morning, and he's seen it a couple of times. These two fires in intercession, these two fires. But the world will also show you things of value. it attaches value to lots of stuff. And it will hold it before you, and you can choose. So these two fires, is one is maybe just a false fire, one that cannot sustain, not of true warmth, and that will actually consume and bring forth death. And the other one is the true living fire, which is Christ in His Spirit, God's ways. And so we can just decide which one's going to burn in me, and where am I going to find my heat? Where am I going to find sustenance, life, and whatever I need? Where am I going to find it? At which of the two fires? So I think you guys are probably doing the math of where we are and how fortunate, how blessed we truly are. Just maybe subject to that, say, "Bietjie vinnig vir oupa." And just subject to that this morning, I see we've got a couple of minutes before we're going to praise. There's so many, and I've touched on this, I believe there's so many prophecies going around in the body of Christ. I love the prophetic, and I've seen how it changed my life, how it changed my marriage, how it's changed relationships, how it's changed this church, how it's changed many of you. God's voice through the prophetic. But I do have an urgency in my heart to know and to ask God, God, are we actually stewarding it well? God, are we honestly stewarding Your prophetic voice well in our church community, in our life, in our journals? Lord, and this is not condemnation, it's just, I believe it's a necessary wake-up call, maybe for me, maybe for some of us. Lord, are we stewarding the prophecies that we have as a change in my pocket, or am I stewarding it as the jewels or the jewelry in a safe? How do I treat it? And you alone will know, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and maybe even convict where necessary. How are we treating the prophecies, the voice of God in our midst? Because I believe there's also an accountability and there's a responsibility about that. And one day if you've been given much, much will be expected. If you've laid under prophecy upon prophecy upon prophecy upon prophecy, and maybe not have stewarded it well, and hear my heart, Jesus, thank You that You just help us navigate through this moment. We need to steward it well. Because why? We want firstly God's will to come to fruition. We want those prophecies, His voice to actually bring the change. We want the kingdom of heaven to come here on earth as it is in heaven. We don't want to become blasé. We don't want to get stuck at other fires. God speaks a clear, solid, prophetic word into your life, and then these other fires comes around. Well, you change like the Bible, interesting, and it's actually much easier just for a lifestyle of change. Small change. Lifestyle of change is good, but small change, not that good. So sometimes we might just get sucked into a lifestyle of small change. Will you stand with me? I believe we should just pray and ask for God to help us with this. In the light of intimacy, do we really value the priceless? I'm going to ask the Lord to help us this morning, because we are a people, and I pray that we will be a people, as Matthew 13:17 says, "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." I'm not changing, I'm not adding to scripture, but I can truthfully tell you also that if they had known, if they could see, that there's a broken world out there. Not millions, billions of people. That would, had they known what you know, had they known that you see what you see, had they known that you hear what you hear, that they would have, as those righteous people and as those prophets, would have given their lives also to have what we have in intimacy, in presence, and in the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, not that you need that, but we value you. Not that we can add anything, but we value you. We value your presence. We value your person. We value your fire. We value your voice. We value your heartbeat. The true price of your voice and the true price of your presence is Jesus Christ. That is a massive price. so that we can just have that in this period of humanity. We can just have it by faith. We are thankful for it. God, we just come humbly and we lift up our hearts, we lift up our spirits, our minds to you, and we say, Lord, if our value system sometimes gets a bit betorted, Lord, come and realign just our hearts and our eyes just to acknowledge and to see true worth and value, that which is eternal, that which is heavenly, that is which is kingdom values, and not fall for the false tricks, the false values of the stuff of this world, the things of the flesh. Lord, help us as a people, not just us here today, but this whole congregation, Lord, and even your body that just in this time, Lord, to wake up to the true value of what we do have in our relationship, presence, and the voice of God. If you just want to, by faith, acknowledge that you want God just to grow you or help you to see true value and to be a son of a good steward of this value that he's given you, and to realize the extent of the blessing that he's given you, just raise your hand in simplicity that we can just pray. Father God, thank you for these hands. Thank you that we just acknowledge that this life can so easily just weigh us down, but we come in this morning, we say thank you that the refiner's fire, Jesus Christ himself, just comes and refines our hearts, refines our minds, so that we can just realize, wow, it's crazy what we have in the Lord. Thank you just for moments like that, for revelation to open up hearts afresh. That the life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of each and every person in this place. That the potential of the presence of God in the Holy of Holies is not much different at all from the one that now lives inside of me. The voice that has created the whole of humanity and earth and all that we see, that voice is the one that takes our time to personally speak to me. Help us to see. Help us to hear. We thank you for your grace. And then not only that, Lord, thank you that we will help us to share. And then secondly, thank you, Father God, for the thousands upon thousands of prophecies that you've poured out over your bride, poured out into your church. And I don't know exactly what to pray, but Lord, if we've sometimes missed it, sometimes become blasé with it, or even have not stewarded it well, or not kept it close, or kept it safe, we repent. I just repent on behalf of the body. Lord, forgive us where we've neglected, or where we've not stewarded and kept safe the word of the most living God, the voice of the most living God. Those amazing seeds, forgive us for being blasé maybe about them. We repent. And then we thank you for those that you've given us. Thank you for those that you give us daily. Thank you for those that you give us now. And only a good father can help us, because we're children. Help us to know how to walk them out, to steward them, to plant them, to give them water along with you, to love on them, and to see them come to fruition. Thank you, birth will come, to all the words that you've given to this people. Birth will come and fruit will come from the voice of the Lord in this church community. And we thank you for that. We receive it by faith. I speak faith and truth over every seed in every heart, every prophecy in every heart in this church community. I just speak God's will, God's will, God's will, God's will. God's kingdom come, God's will be done over us as a people and over this church community. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Dankie julle. Thank you, guys. I'm thankful. And may you just unlock the true value that he gives us daily, and may we share that which is valuable in the manner that he blesses us.